Chapter 8. "Watch the wall on the right," Rika called back over her shoulder as they slid into the next compartment. "See that conduit?"
"Yeah," Charlie replied.
"Power routing to subsection 12.
"Exactly. Best not touch it."
Charlie had been taking note of active and dead systems as he moved through the craft. He helped design and build the ship, and on an alien world in a distant solar system, at least this was something he had a modicum of control over.
"That system is powered down, Rika. It's tied to the scan array we climbed over on the way out of the command module. No juice to any of it. Something knocked that whole section of the ship out, including the backups."
She eyed the dangling conduit.
"Still, steer clear anyway, just in case."
The pair made their way through the compartment, stepping over the equipment and supplies, all of it torn free and scattered, like debris from an overzealous birthday kid's pinata, smashed to bits during the crash. Fortunately, there were no flight stations in that room. If there had been, the occupants would have been torn to shreds.
"The hull's caved in up ahead. We should cross to the other side and see about accessing the lower levels," Rika said, shining her powerful flashlight down the pitch-black corridor leading away from the crumpled section of the ship.
Charlie nodded his agreement and followed her lead. Chivalry be damned, Rika was taking charge and settling into her unexpected promotion as best she could. With the captain dead, the weight of the mission and the welfare of its crew was now squarely on her shoulders. Her light danced along the rippled walls, the force of the impact having caused even the durable metal sheeting to contort, despite the robust core framework of the craft. Stepping through an airlock door stuck two-thirds open, Rika surveyed the storage units still intact and made a beeline for one of them. She quickly forced the powered-down lock open with a piece of metal.
"What are you doing?" Charlie asked.
"We need to collect supplies as we go. Basics only at this point. Food, hydration packs, medical supplies," she said, stuffing a small first aid kit into a salvaged bag, along with some emergency ration bars that survived the impact. Several had been crushed and torn open, but she swept them into the bag as well.
"Hey, those are open."
"I know. No time to be finicky about food, Charlie. A little dirt won't kill you. At least I hope it won't.
In any case, I think that'll be the least of our worries. Now keep your eyes open and grab anything remotely edible. I'm going to pop up ahead into the next section and see if the access ladder to the next deck is intact. Hopefully the others are just trapped down there, but I think you may have been right about the lowest levels."
Charlie swallowed hard. Those people would have been torn to shreds when the belly of the ship ripped apart during their violent landing.
"Of course, yeah," he managed.
Rika grabbed him by the shoulders.
"Take a deep breath. We'll get through this. I need you to focus now, okay? Food, water, med supplies. Keep looking. I'll be back in a few minutes."
She pressed the slowly flashing light next to the heavy door at the far end of the room and waited. The mechanism strained and squealed, but there was still power to the unit, and it finally ground open.
"Door systems are on a different circuit, broken down by level and compartment cluster," Charlie noted. "I may be able to cross-patch and get us some lights."
Rika was glad to see her friends start to break free from the shock that had slowly taken hold as the reality of their situation sank in. He was nowhere near 100%, but the old Charlie, the brilliant engineer, was slowly coming back.
"Great, see what you can do," she said,
then stepped through the doorway into the darkness. Charlie took a deep breath and did his best to drive the creeping fear from his mind. Then he forced his hands to get to work, systematically digging through every single storage space that would hold useful materials. Even the damaged and torn Mylar pouches, containing various edible materials, went into his bag. Rika was right. The ship originally had ample supplies, but after the crash, how much of that cash had survived was anyone's guess.
"Ow! Son of a bitch!
You okay in there?"
Rika called into the narrow space between the bulkhead and the interior engineering pod.
"Yeah,"
Charlie said, rubbing his head and checking his fingers for blood.
"Clean. I just banged my head again. Well, be careful. I don't want to have to go crawling in there to pull you out."
Charlie hadn't so much volunteered to squeeze into the tight confines of the service space as had no choice. He was the ship's engineer, and as brilliant as Rika may have been,
This was his area of expertise. She'd fly the ship, and he would keep it running. The reactor was undamaged, it seemed, but while it was in emergency standby mode, streaming out just a trickle of electricity to keep systems active, the battery backups and many links between systems were physically severed from the areas they were supposed to service. As a result, they had been stumbling around in the dark for hours, manually forcing open the doors they were able when power to those units had been cut. Unfortunately, this was time-consuming and tedious, not to mention a massive drain on their energy now that the initial surge of adrenaline had worn off. The ship had been designed to have sections seal themselves and remain autonomous from the rest of the craft in the event of a depressurization. In such circumstances, the conduits and miles of wires running through the craft would have remained intact, the only issue being that of the lack of pressure. A crash landing, however, had never been even considered during the spitball sessions, when they troubleshot potential emergencies and how to design redundant systems to handle them. For all of their abundant caution, this was something they were not prepared for. Much as he hated the thought, it was actually Charlie's idea that he could try to run a temporary bypass of whichever systems were still powered up to divert precious electricity to select segments of the ship one at a time. It was insanely labor-intensive, with Charlie constantly climbing back and forth through the ship. First, he would power up one section with a lengthy bypass, often involving great lengths of salvaged wire to trickle the charge to the correct circuits if their native boards were fried, then on to the next. It was tedious, but he managed. Over and over, he managed. Despite his efforts, the main lights were still out in much of the ship, and most of the emergency lighting systems had also overloaded during their tumble through the wormhole and subsequent impact with the alien world. Charlie had managed to find a few workarounds, though, restoring a fraction of the lights in several previously black compartments. Lighting was good. What it revealed, however, was not. "That's Keisha," Rika said, identifying their crewmate from the engagement ring on the hand that hadn't been crushed by equipment wrenched free in the crash. "We'll come back for her," Rika said, moving on to the next compartment. "There's nothing to do for her, but there may be others we can still help." She was right, of course. "Hang on. If I can get the crew's onboard locators working, we can at least know where to look," Charlie said, hurrying back to her previously scavenged compartment. "Wireless comms are totally shot. That system was in the lower section of the ship. But the real-time locator will at least tell us where everyone is on board. Just no way to talk to them, and no way to know if they're alive." "Nope. That part we'll have to do the old-fashioned way," he said. "But at least we'll have a roadmap where to look. Otherwise, with all these systems down and power so spotty, not to mention all of the unstable sections that might just collapse on us, it could take us days to find them." Rika thought on it a moment, then gave a quick nod. "You're right. Efficiency over raw speed. Let's implement that plan immediately." "You're the captain," he replied, and began the backtrack to the nearest terminal. He hadn't been the one to design that particular system, so he only hoped his idea would work in practice as well as in theory. 15 minutes later, they were on the hunt, map of locator signals in hand. They'd find something. The only question remaining was what.